is Cascadia Public Radio.
We're very happy to be here tonight. Let's hear it loud and proud for the internet right now. Whoa, this is awesome. And I'm glad we have more people this week. Last week we had kind of a controversial show that got people all riled up because when you start talking about Jesus, people get all pissed off at you. Some people liked it. But, you know, when you talk about the Antichrist, especially when you're saying it's Prince William, they don't like that either. By the way, I want to let you all know one thing. I've decided that is there any way we can turn down the music in the kitchen? I need to have that turned down just a little bit because I don't want to shout over it, please. Anyway, what I want to do is I want to tell you that if you miss a show or if there's a show that you really like and you're not able to get on the internet because sometimes we can't get on the internet fast enough, and plus a lot of the shows are visual, I can now download and I can produce shows that I do, and all I'll do is I'll take an order, $10, and I will get you a copy of either the show tonight or the shows that you had in the past. I mean, people requested shows about the Joker from Batman that I did. They requested shows about the Antichrist, and I got that show taken care of the other day for someone. So at the end of the show tonight, if you want to come up to me, don't be afraid to come up to me. Tell me that you want a show. I will make you a copy. Give me $10. I'll make you a copy at home. I'll bring it back to you next week. So that would help me out greatly because right now, of course, there's a lot of things going on. And I have cancer bills to pay, actually. I need to tell you this. I found out that the insurance didn't cover everything. So, I mean, I got a lot to pay off. You know, $10, but every little bit helps me. So please give me help because I need it. Anyway, and besides, the shows are really good. They're informative. And if you really, really want to show them to your friends, it's always nice to say, take a look at this. Take a look at this. You don't have to zoom through the internet to find information. It's right there at your fingertips. By the way, the Ground Zero Lounge, we do have rules. The rules are this. I need you to please listen to what I have to say. I also need you that if you want to say anything, I don't take well to hecklers. This is not a fucking comedy show. It can be funny. This isn't a show where you're going to heckle me. It's a show where if you want to heckle, you're going to heckle on a microphone. I got a microphone here and I got a microphone here and I need you to heckle there. If you don't believe what I say, if you don't like what I say, or if you do like what I say, it always helps me that if you get up and you speak into the microphone because that's what makes this a show. It's not me up here ranting. It's you and me ranting together, talking about the issues that are important, because most of the issues that we bring up here at the Ground Zero Lounge are talked about here first. Many people come to the lounge and they say, Clyde, it's really weird. You talked about this 3-4 weeks ago. Now it's in the mainstream. It's because word of mouth travels quicker than the news does. And the people talk about subjects long before the news does. So what you're getting is you're getting what the zeitgeist is churning out, what the spirit of the times dictates, and what is not heard in the mainstream news, because the mainstream news has an agenda. The mainstream narrative has an agenda. And we try to break through agendas, try to give you what is closer to what is really going on. I've been told that, you know, a lot of the stuff I talk about, they wonder if it's right. And I go, yes, it's right a lot. And people say, well, I'd rather get my news somewhere else. I go, CNN only gets it right 75% of the time. I should know because I come from a news background. We only go on what we're told by press releases and those sort of things. We don't dig. It's not something news people do. They want their paycheck as quick and as easily as possible. And they're not going to do anything to fuck with that paycheck by reporting something that's out of the norm. Now, I don't have to deal with a paycheck from corporate telling me what I can and cannot say. I've got people that I work with, people I know, people I love in the business. I'd like you all to give a big hand tonight to James, who's here from MediaMonarchy.com. James is a fantastic. I've been on his radio show several times, and I have been to his site. It's a great source of information. You should go there, too, MediaMonarchy.com. It's amazing what you can find there. You can also find some Ground Zero shows if you're lucky. Tonight's show is A Pirate's Lie for Ye. The reason why I came up with this is because I was a little bit perturbed when I first heard the news about the pirates in Somalia. Why? Because there have been pirates in Somalia for hell knows how long. They've been there forever. But then all of a sudden, woohoo, we got a story about pirates. And you know why we have a story about pirates? I'll tell you why. Because they fucked with America. That's why. Okay, that's the only reason why we're hearing about these pirates. I'm going to tell you something about the pirates tonight. You may not support what I have to say, but I want you to hear me out. Because the problem I'm having is when Hillary Clinton got up and started saying, we're not going to give pirate booty, and she actually used the phrase pirate booty. Pirate booty, okay? Listen, this is not Disneyland. This is reality. The current administration, Barack Obama's administration, and the mainstream media is reporting the successful rescue of Americans held hostage by pirates in the seas off Somalia. The frightening thing about the whole affair is that we're being lied to. We're being fed a bunch of bullcrap, bullshit about these pirates. Being fed that to the point of embarrassment. We're being told that there is a war on pirates. Another war on something, right? A war on pirates. It's the epitome of pragmatic, tough-minded, and decisive administration. That's what this is, a war on pirates. This is basically them talking tough. Pirates. Talking tough to pirates. Funny thing about these dangerous Somali pirates is that whenever they have taken ships in the past, they have kept their hostages safe, fed, and returned when ransoms were given. Except in the case of Captain Phillips and the Maersk Alabama. It seems that the story got a little ugly with the crew. Navy SEALs had to be called in, and three pirates were shot and killed. The captain escaped. He's a hero now. Just because he was able to get away because the Navy SEALs had a way to fire at them so he could get away underneath their fire. He hid most of the time when he was in that captain's chambers. Then he got away. But he's a hero because he got away. He's a hero because we had a whole group of Navy SEALs shooting three 14-year-old pirates. Okay? This is what's going on. This is all one bad, ugly agenda, and I'm going to point that out to you tonight. It's funny how the USS Bainbridge was called to help the U.S. cargo ship, the MV Liberty Sun, which was under attack by Somali pirates. They were using rocket-propelled grenades and automatic weapons, et cetera, according to the news. The event seemed to be staged to me, and I'll tell you why. Because if you're a history person, if you read any history at all, you would know what the Bainbridge is. The Bainbridge is named after Captain William Bainbridge. Captain William Bainbridge was the captain of the Constitution, and he also was the captain of the ships that went in to go after the Barbary pirates in Tripoli, Africa, places like that. Isn't that amazing? They call out the Bainbridge. Somebody thought they were fucking cute by sending out the Bainbridge to rescue these people from the pirates because the Bainbridge had a heritage of piracy. Just goes to show you what a little staging can do. This was not a coincidence. It was done on purpose. It just seems a little weird to me that almost out of nowhere this spate of pirate attacks are gaining the attention of the American media. The Obama administration is grandstanding on its intervention in Somalian waters. However, the administration is lacking vision into the bigger picture. The people that get the mainstream narrative in the United States are not getting the whole story either. The reality is that this adulation of the violent policing of piracy is an embarrassment for us as a country and a complete exercise in hypocrisy on the part of the Obama administration. I'm going to show you why. Americans have found it more important in recent years to care about pirates, You know the ones played by Johnny Depp and Jeffrey Rush in Pirates of the Caribbean? Ooh, cool. Those are the pirates that we've been paying attention to. And what's really interesting is a great example of how Americans respond to piracy is when Matt Lauer was on the news with the FBI agent investigating this whole thing. He said, hey, let's get this straight. They aren't pirates. They're criminals with guns. What the fuck is a pirate? It's a criminal. He's got a gun. He's got bayonets. He's got all those things. They used to hang pirates, for Christ's sake. But no, we can't mistake them from the Johnny Depps and the Jeffrey Rushes of the world and that little octopus guy that has a little dangly shit off his face. No, we can't mistake them. Those are pirates. These guys are thugs with guns. Thing is, we know the difference, Matt. We're not stupid, but maybe we don't know the difference. Maybe we need to have an education. Maybe we need to have an education in this, okay? So, anyway, we don't want to mistake them from Disneyland, that's for sure. Now, there are many distractions, aren't there? Just a week ago, we had the distraction of the North Korean missile crisis, annoying distraction there with Barack Obama's call for a world without nuclear weapons. He also pledged that America would lead the way in disarmament, and only a few days earlier, President Obama commented that Iraq was a distraction from Michelle Obama's wardrobe and her wardrobe choices. I swear to God, if I hear that one more fucking time in the news, I'm going to bust a fucking vein. I am tired of hearing about her clothing, and I'm tired of hearing about she's hired a makeup artist to go on the road with her because she doesn't like the way she looks. Well, guess what, Michelle? We don't like the way you look because it's well known that whenever you're on the cover of a magazine, you don't sell shit. We love your husband. We don't love you. Okay? The love affair between you and the First Lady is done, according to the news. But no one wants to admit it. Only she's feeling the pinch of it. That's why she has to go out and hire all these people to pick out her wardrobe clothes for her. And whenever have we heard about Laura Bush's choice for clothing and who she's wearing? You never heard about that, but you're hearing about her. Why? Because it's a Hollywood made in heaven superstar of Michelle Obama. I am tired of the presidency and Hollywood and all these other militant fucks turning. Did you guys hear what happened with Miss America? Did you guys hear about this? The Miss America pageant went on yesterday. The girl who was the runner-up Miss California was asked a question of a blogger by the name of Perez Hilton. Perez Hilton is a gay blogger. He is a militant, obviously, because he asked a question about gay marriage to her. He said, Virginia just ratified gay marriage. How do you feel about that? She said, well, in my country, we have a choice between marrying man, man, woman, woman, or if we want to, we have traditional marriages. In my family, I was always taught that it was man and woman. I don't want to offend everybody, but that's how I feel about the issue. She lost the pageant. And according to Perez Hilton, she lost it because of that question. If that's the case, I'm pissed off. I'm for gay marriage, too. I'm for the idea that anybody who loves anybody should get married. That's fine. I don't care. You do what you need to do. But God damn it, I'm tired of the militancy. Yes, I am tired of the militancy in this country, and Perez Hilton is a fucking gay blogger, for Christ's sake. Since when do we give a shit what a gay blogger has to say? If that's the case, or a straight blogger, for that matter. Think about it. Think about it. And yet, this poor girl, she was honest, and now look what's going on. It's because we're allowing ourselves to value these stupid, political correct ideas, and we look at Somalia, and we say, oh, those pirates over there, dark-skinned, very bad. They're militants, very bad. Or they're Muslim, very bad. Or they're this. No. It's not the way it seems. If we pull ourselves away from the Michelle Obama thing, if we pull ourselves away from the Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan's and the Madonna adopting another fucking child thing, maybe we'd find out what's going on. Maybe we realize it's all a very bad joke. Or maybe it's just another distraction to keep us from finding out that Obama basically ignored the American people again by endorsing the actions of the previous administration with regards to torture. Yeah, we had 19 indicted and no one's going to go and get investigated for war crimes. How's that? For change, people. That's not change. We said, we vowed that we would change things. No, we're just prolonging the agony. If we let these guys go, I mean, regardless of what you think about torture at Abu Ghraib or torture at Guantanamo, this shit does not stand in the United States, but apparently now it does with our new president who's supposed to be the provocateur of change. This isn't change. It's just prolonging everything else. We are so concerned with the war on pirates that many other issues in our own backyards are getting less attention. It is completely ludicrous for the United States military to be rescuing each and every victim of pirates sailing into the save the day when the luxury yachts are boarded by boogeymen. How many times are we going to be hearing this, that we're going to be sending out a whole fleet of the Navy to go and rescue some boat that's being taken by pirates? Pirates that are basically a bunch of young people with guns who go on board and say, hey, we're taking your ransom. There's a reason why they're doing this, and I'm going to tell you why they're doing it. The situation we hear in Somalia, we hear about Somalia, could happen right here in the United States. Many of you know Somalia's background. Many of you know that that country has not had a government. I said last week, if you recall, I said that it's really sad that headlines used to be about what's in the public interest. Now headlines generate public interest or public concern. You see, generating this type of concern about bullshit and not giving you the full story is exactly what the media is doing. This whole Tea Party, remember that on tax day, how many people know the Tea Party by applause? Anybody hear about it? It stood for taxing up already, okay? I have watched to discuss, and you can look this up on the internet. Just type in Google, CNN reporter at Tea Party. This reporter felt it necessary to argue with the protesters and point out where they're wrong in their protests. Reporters are supposed to be a little bit objective. They're supposed to have objectivity, right? This reporter did not have objectivity. If I was the head of CNN, I would have fired her right on the spot. I don't give a shit if this person has killed 8 people and you've got a mic in front of his face. You don't judge that person. It's up to the courts to do that. I don't care if you don't believe in abortion. If you're a reporter, you report the story. You don't insert your fucking editorialisms in there because you're a reporter. Now, if you're a person who's an editorializer, like me and James and a few other people, you can do this because that's what you do. You give your opinions. These people are paid to report what's in the public interest, not create public interest or concerns. And so when they skew a story, like the pirate story, and they don't give you the full story, the full picture, they're doing you a disservice and they're generating a big fall. They're generating hypocrisy, in my opinion. It seems that all the appearances, they're keeping up appearances. Reality enters very little in this whole pirate affair. There is not one ounce of truth coming out of that piracy affair. The Obama administration and pirates and all of this, well, there's a word that's very familiar to the Ground Zero audience, and I'm going to use it again. The word is pretext. This is pretext. The so-called pirates is being used, the propaganda is being used, as a smokescreen to invade, destabilize, and control the Horn of Africa. The pirates are the pretext to justify all means of military invasion in Somalia that could eventually lead to military invasion intervention in the Horn of Africa. This so-called pirates crisis is a struggle between China, America, and the West to control strategic waterways in Somalia and the Horn of Africa. Somalia's strategic position in the Horn of Africa means that any nation that dominates this area will have tremendous control over world trade. This whole story needs to be back-engineered, and I did it for you, and I'm going to do it tonight in front of you, in order to understand what's really happening. This incident is a sad commentary on propaganda, ecological disaster, and diplomatic failure. This incident underscores how haphazardly the foreign policy of the United States has not changed, and unfortunately, we see that policies of shoot first, ask questions later are put into practice again. The Obama administration is using the war on piracy to show that Super Obama is no shrinking violet. He's ready, willing, and able to employ military force in pursuit of justice, quote, justice. What he's really doing is playing the chess game that invented by none other than Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is his policy advisor. See, we did a show here called Bloating in the Deadpool a while back, talking about Osama bin Laden. And in the Ground Zero Ledge presentation that I talked about, I had predicted that the war is coming from Obama and his administration. We'll be organized using the Brzezinski Grand Chessboard method, where our old enemies will become allies. We figured that the Afghanistan situation would probably change, but not for the better. It would get worse because it would bring in more troops. Why? Because they want to mount an attack against Pakistan. And Russia has interest in Afghanistan. Just like back in the day when Zbigniew Brzezinski befriended Osama bin Laden in order to go after the Russians. What we're going to do is we're going to go into Africa, we're going to destabilize Africa so that China, who gets the resources and oil from Africa, is going to get all pissed off and bent out of shape, and then we'll find that China is kind of the cold enemy, but the real enemy is in Africa, those fucking pirates. Those pirates are causing too much trouble. That's what's going on. In fact, if you want to hear from the horse's mouth, this is right from the book. It says here, it says that in order to get rid of the harboring terrorists, they need to do this. It says, from the horse's mouth, Brzezinski observed, that Somalia has become part of the grand chessboard on which the struggle for global primacy continues to be played. These moves in the region are framed in ideological terms as part of the global crusade against terrorism, but they rest on a classic geopolitical foundation. The Somalian crisis has some deeper roots than just piracy. The whole affair, once again, is classic blowback when you see that the pirates were created by other pirates that have more organized government backing them. Somalia, for those of you that don't know, is bordered by Djibouti to the northwest, Kenya on its southwest, the Gulf of Aden at its east, and Ethiopia to the west. It gained independence from Italy on July 1st, 1960, when Italian Somaliland and British Somaliland joined together to form the new nation of Somalia. Following a series of sectarian and clan clashes, a 1969 coup headed by Mohamed Siad Barre ushered in an authoritarian socialist rule that managed to impose a degree of stability in the country. But then, after that happened, we had the CIA come in, topple that regime in 1991, and installed a warlord by the name of Ali Mehdi Mohamed. Somalia descended into turmoil, factional fighting, and anarchy. There was one secret, though, that Mr. Mohammed did not tell his people. He kept a deadly secret. He made deals with countries to allow toxic waste to be dumped along the shores of Somalia. Now, we're looking at a coastline that's very large. We're talking a coastline that's probably from Florida to California. We're talking only part of the waters there in Somalia are being dumped. But it's enough to make the ecosystem go to shit. And the fish there are also being taken out and plundered. But see, here's the thing. No one knew about this. No one knew about the toxic waste till after the tsunami of 2005. This is like something out of a horror movie, people. Imagine, if you will, an island or an area where there's water. Big, big earthquake comes, takes a tsunami, and rushes across the waters to your little area of Somalia. Then as the waters recede, you find these huge canisters that have rolled up onto beaches. Huge. I mean, these things are big tanks. What you find out is these tanks have been leaking, and what they've been leaking is hazardous nuclear waste on your beaches. And as that's leaking, people are exposed to it, and thousands of people end up getting rashes, getting sick, and tens of thousands of Somalis fall ill, and they're rushed to the hospital with bleeding eyes and pocked faces. Not being able to breathe. They don't know why this is happening because their government did not tell them that they were being had. They were not told that the Western areas and the countries were actually making deals to dump this shit in your backyard. That's what's going on in Somalia. Some 300 people are believed to have died from the poisonous chemicals. Many European, U.S., and Asian shipping firms, notably Switzerland's Acer Partners and Italy's Progresso, signed dumping deals in the 1990s with Ali Mehdi Mohamed and militia leaders. Part of the Somali coast became a dumping ground. This practice became widespread as the country descended into civil war and their government became non-existent. European companies found it was very cheap and convenient to get rid of the waste. It cost as little as $3 a ton to dump there, whereas in Europe it costs $1,000 a ton. Where are you going to dump? Place where it's $3 a ton. And they made the deals with the warlords. Some of the stuff that was dumped there was uranium radioactive waste, lead, heavy metals such as cadmium and mercury, industrial waste, hospital waste, chemical wastes of all kinds were dumped there. Even after the CIA-backed government, the transitional government, had long since disappeared, it had become habitual for boats to continue using the waters to jettison their toxic cargo. Take a shit in my backyard. It's okay. It's okay. They're just Somalians. No big deal. Despite the evidence uncovered by the tsunami, a UN investigation into the practice of toxic dumping was dropped. There was no compensation and no cleanup. In 2006, Somali fishermen complained to the UN that foreign fishing fleets were using the breakdown of the state to plunder their fish stocks. These foreign fleets often recruited Somali militias to intimidate other fishermen. Despite repeated requests, the UN refused to act. Meanwhile, the warships of global powers that patrol the strategically important Gulf of Aden did not sink or seize any vessels dumping toxic chemicals in the area. But we'll fuck with the pirates. Why? Because they have smaller guns. Meantime, you go ahead and dump. It's okay. According to Somali Fisheries Society and Somali Marine Resource Management, which monitor the country's marine environment, the illegal fishing vessels stay away into deeper waters during the days but come closer to shore at night. They apply their destructive fishing techniques, like using dynamite to break coral reefs, which reduce the local population's harvest of tuna and crustaceans and damaged nets and traps set by local fishermen. On several occasions, there have been reports of large amounts of dead fish floating near the shore. This is something that's fucking apocalyptic, people. You have shit washing up on shore. It's a wonder they don't have zombies roaming the streets. It's a wonder they don't have zombies roaming the streets with all this shit. I mean, it sounds like something out of a zombie movie. You wake up, these people, their eyes are bleeding, they look like hell, they feel terrible, they die, their fish are floating on the shores. Hell, they probably are hot to the touch. Who knows? Angry Somalis then got together. Their waters were poisoned. Livelihoods were being threatened. They took matters into their own hands. Fishermen began to arm themselves and attempted to act as unofficial coast guards. They began to seize ships in late 2005. So this has been going on since 2005. These were released after ransom was paid. Among them were cargo vessels, luxury cruise liners, and tuna fishing boats. Once the pirates boarded the ships, most ships who were caught dead-handed dumping would give money to the Somalians. I don't know why this American ship decided to fight back, but it did. There's other rumors about why it fought back, mainly because it's spying, because somebody is saying that Russians are smuggling weapons into Somalia. There's a lot of reasons I haven't confirmed yet why this has been going on. But see, these guys are pretty much fishermen and farmers fighting for what is theirs. The Somalis would ask for ransom money they would use to cover the cost of cleanup. Not one person has died, by the way. I heard two wrongs, so make it right. Not one person has died except for the pirates. Three pirates were killed by the Navy. There's not one person that was killed. Not one person has been killed during these hijackings. Not one. It's not wrong to defend your turf. They boarded because they were doing something wrong. I can promise you that. Just because they board a U.S. boat don't mean jack shit. They've been boarding boats all over the place. And they actually feed and take care of the people that they board while they have them hostage until they can get the money. There's not been one that I know of incident of a person being killed by a hijacker. They're not terrorists. They're farmers. They're fishermen. And they're trying to clean up their area, and this is what they do when they do it. Now, the pirates that you're hearing about that are taking care of business with the guns and the big rocket launchers and all that other stuff are part of the transitional government. They got an idea. Hey, these guys are defending their turf. Why don't we go with bigger guns and bigger whatever and take over these boats and make millions of dollars? So now the farmers are getting double fucked. The fishermen are getting double fucked because now they're not going to be able to go out and do that because now they have the transitional government, CIA-backed traditional government blowbacks basically doing this. These guys are blowbacks. They're like Saddam Hussein. They're Manuel Noriega. They're the same group of people. We hired them, and now they're coming back, and they're fucking us. One of the interesting things I want to point out to you, take a look at these pictures. These are pictures of our pirates. These are pictures that have been taken off blogs from Africa, Ethiopia, Canada. Okay? These are the pictures that I took off those blogs, off of those areas there, okay? Now, let's take a look at the American sites. Boy, that's a big difference, isn't it? These guys look like they're ready for their rap video. Or their disco video, or whatever. It looks like an album cover for some militant rap hip-hop group. Why? Because Americans wouldn't respond to little farmers with little guns shaking. No, they got to be all dressed up really nice with all this money that they've got. There's the difference between America and the difference between what we're seeing in Europe and places like Ethiopia. Sure, those guys are the pirates. Those guys are the ones with the money. And who's giving them the money? The money came from what they've gotten when they were in the transitional government. The transitional government that was basically put in by force by the CIA. These guys are blowbacks, I promise you. They're just as bad as the other guys. They are what remains of the CIA blowback program government similar to the Contras, Manuel Noriega, Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein. Hussein was hired by the United States to fight Ayatollah Khomeini, and Osama bin Laden was hired to fight the Russians in Afghanistan. The pirates were hired a long time ago by the United States and Western interests. They are now creating a crisis as pretext for war and distraction from the problems happening in our own backyard. Isn't that funny how that happens that way? Take a look at these pictures and look at them good. Donald Rumsfeld shaking hands with our good friend Saddam Hussein. George Bush sitting with Manuel Noriega. Zbigniew Brzezinski playing with guns with Osama bin Laden. And Barack Obama kneeling before the Saudi king. Just pay attention to that. Now, either the U.S. makes these shady deals on purpose, or we're a country that really is a poor judge of character. Take your pick. This isn't change. It's the same thing. All the time. And we're exploiting someone who's trying to defend their turf. Because they don't have a government. You realize, Somalia doesn't have a government. So, yeah, they're pirates, all right. But they, how many years? 19 years. They don't have a government, so they're not recognized as a Coast Guard or a military or whatever. They're defending without a leader. So does that make them bad? Does that make them terrorists? No, it makes them people who are defending their country or defending their turf so they can eat. That's exactly how it's going to be in the United States when your government decides they're not going to give you money anymore and they're not going to provide what they've been providing. Along with all the talk about global warming, an ecological disaster looming on the planet. Just who are the pirates now? Those who attempt to defend their turf against ecological marauders or big governments that love to talk big about global sustainability when they pollute and rape the earth in places that they hope no one will notice. Which is worse? Think about that. I know this all sounds like a simple conspiracy theory, but it isn't. It's reality. It reaches far deeper than that. Not only are fishermen and villagers threatened in Somalia, but the entire ecosystem of the planet is being damaged. The United States, along with Switzerland, Italy, and others, being the biggest offenders, and have been making backdoor deals with rogue governments for years to dump toxic waste. This is a reality. It's been going on for some time. Since the 1940s, these countries have been passing the nuclear waste football around from country to country. What we're seeing in Somalia is backlash and exploitation of what big governments have been doing for decades, raping the planet of resources, making money from it, and basically criminalizing those who decide to fight back. That's what they've been doing. That's the process. That is how things are done. Now, if you don't agree with me, if you're irritated by what I say, get up and talk about it, because I want to hear what you're saying. I want to hear how we can be excused for talking about global warming and urging people to pay attention to global warming when they're fucking the planet with all kinds of toxic waste, nuclear or otherwise. They decide to fight back, we turn them into terrorists. That's why I call bullshit on global warming. I mean, you look at what's going on with the toxic waste. This organized blame game is just bullshit. You're going to be victimized soon by policies of global sustainability, and I've been telling people about this all the time. And anthropogenic global warming is small potatoes when you consider the mass and the mess that we've created with this toxic waste situation, nuclear waste. The half-life of radioisotopes add up to billions of years. The issue of disposal methods for nuclear waste is one of the most pressing current problems we have today, yet policies and evaluations of where and how to dump the waste have been put on the back burner for policies that will implement a green tax. Hundreds of new taxes are now being developed in order to try and curb greenhouse gases, yet most policies and new restrictions with regard to toxic nuclear waste are being delayed until 2015. In the meantime, the nuclear big-mouthing between the U.S. and other world powers is hollow because of the mess that we're still needing to clean up, especially messes in our own backyard. You realize we're still cleaning up messes from the 20th century. These toxic wastes are not new. Deals are being made where foreign wastes are dumped right here in the United States. All around the world, countries are cleaning up after the legacy of World War II and the Cold War. That means the nuclear waste made in the 20th century is still being dumped and shipped all over the world. The weapons that fought the Cold War, the facilities that manufactured those weapons, and the factories that fueled the continued war effort left behind a trail of pollution. Yet we're being told that we are responsible for the condition and the global climate. We are being told that we're responsible. Our cars are eating up greenhouse gases. I just read the Drudge Report this today that fat people cause global warming. Fuck you. I'm fat. I'm losing weight. But you know what? I don't give a shit. They're going to tax farmers for cow flatulence. If your cow farts, you're taxed. You know? If you eat meat, you're taxed. If you have a goddamn heater in your patio, you're taxed. They're going to do their carbon taxes. And there's no reason for this because they're fucking us with the toxic waste. Go ahead.
The only way to reduce your carbon footprint involves the cessation of your heartbeat, so I refuse to feel guilty.
Thank you. Give her a hand for that. That's what global sustainability is. Global sustainability is die for the planet. Fuck you. I would rather live to make this planet better than die for your fucking cause, you political fucking prick. I am sorry, but I don't buy this global warming bullshit. I don't buy this global sustainability bullshit, and I'm sorry if I'm ruining your little myth, okay? I've been fucking tired of nuclear toxic waste since the time I was born. My parents were downwinders. I have fucking tuberous sclerosis, which makes me more apt to get cancer because they were downwind of a fucking nuclear test. And toxic tailings were everywhere in Utah when I was growing up. The Vitro tailings pile used to be right down the street from my house. It was everywhere. People at Hanford, lived near Hanford, the Tri-Cities, I think they're fucking tired of it too, right? Chances of you dying of throat cancer in Hanford, near Hanford, is very high. Thank God I'm over my renal cell carcinoma. Hope you don't get it from all this toxic bullshit. But global warming is what I care about. My taxes is what I care about, being taxed for farting and being fat. Depleted uranium has been used in weapons, rendered parts of the world unlivable, like Yugoslavia. People have been suffering the effects of tumors, cancers, and birth defects from these weapons. Many of the victims live hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away. People are feeling the effects of depleted uranium in Britain. Yet the war effort must continue. Fucking terrorists. Fucking pirates. You know how silly that fucking sounds right now? It sounds fucking silly to me, and I hope it sounds silly to you. According to the World Nuclear Association, depleted uranium is not classified as dangerous substance radiologically, though it is potentially hazardous in large quantities beyond what could conceivably or conceivably be breathed. Its emissions are very low since the half-life of uranium-238 is the same as the age of the Earth, about 4.5 billion years. There are no reputable reports of cancer or other negative health effects from radiation exposure to ingested and inhaled natural or depleted uranium, despite much study. Tell that to a veteran. Tell that to someone who's been around those weapons. I had a talk with my fiancé's roommate, and he told me all about Agent Orange and how he's got tumors and how he has to get them taken care of because of that. And I told him about my tumors. We were talking about our tumors, talking about our exposure to this fucking waste, this continued war waste that we have to have. Oh, it's for my freedom. Well, you know what? I'm not fucking free when I owe $48,000 fucking dollars for cancer surgery. I'm not free at all. I am not free when that shit happens, and I don't give a shit who's blowing up what. Pirates is pirates. Let's get out of the fairy tale and get with fucking reality. Nuclear waste trains, thank you. If you want to applaud, you can applaud, for fuck's sakes. There are nuclear waste trains that travel all over Europe and all over the United States. What? With nuclear waste, so they don't know where to put it. They don't know where to put it, so it goes everywhere. It goes from Italy to the UK to Germany. It goes to remote areas of Russia. We dump there. It's really a bad thing. And you know what's interesting is that the Atomic Energy Committee, the International Atomic Energy Agency, says that nuclear operations most vulnerable to terrorist attacks are the trains. No one's hit them yet. We hit buildings, but we don't hit trains that are full of nuclear waste. At least not yet. And it goes on and on and on. Stephen King's novel The Stand was based on a VX leak, a train that went through Utah, killed a bunch of sheep. Thousands of sheep died. It would have blown one way. It would have killed people in Salt Lake City, Utah. They transport that shit to Nevada, Utah, the West Desert, the Yucca Mountain facility where they put all this nuclear waste. They buried a nuclear reactor from Hanford out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, boy, we're really leaving a legacy behind for our kids, aren't we? It's all about global warming when in reality we're fucking the planet from the inside out. Toxic waste. And I'm the toxic Avenger, people. Well, here's another side to the story, too. Seems a lot of people have come up with the idea that maybe we ought to just take all this toxic waste, encase it in glass, and send it to the moon. Well, guess what? Scientists are saying, we don't want to do that. Why? Because it'll hamper moon missions. How many fucking moon missions have we gone on since 1973? None! We've never been to the fucking moon! Jesus Christ, how stupid! And God damn it! 40 years we've never been to the moon. Oh, we're going to have our future moon missions. We'll put shit there. My God, there's nothing up there. Maybe there are. Maybe there are aliens up there, and we don't know it. Maybe that's why they don't want to put shit up there, because we don't want to kill those little aliens that are living up there. Fuck off. We need to stop this political bullshit about global warming. We need to stop it, and we need to pay attention to what the real problem is, and that is that we are not sustainable because of bullshit fucking wars that have been going on in the 20th century that continue into the 21st century. That Obama doesn't seem to want to stop. Change. Ching, ching, change. No change. So what is the solution? Well, I'll tell you what the solution is. The simple solution is not lying, new carbon taxes or greenwashing for global sustainability. It does not come to the tough talk to nations that most recently have discovered nuclear power. It doesn't come from that, no. It most certainly doesn't come from declaring war on Somali fishermen who have been bullied by criminal Western-backed transitional governments and robbed of their resources through illegal fishing and toxic dumping. The solution is that the Obama administration should stop taking their war on pirate rhetoric seriously. And stop taking all of what Bush talked about seriously and stop endorsing it. From wiretaps, to not going after torturers, to supporting all of the Patriot Act, and all the other bullshit. Did you see Texas? Texas, Governor Perry said that they have the constitutional right to invoke their 10th Amendment constitutional rights. And yeah, go ahead and applaud that. And you know what's good about that is he can also secede, and they can also divide into 5 states. You know what that means to me? That means someone's talking civil war. And what happens when you start talking civil war? You get people like Napolitano getting up there saying, well, guess what? We have provisions in the Homeland Security to go after people who are right-wing extremists. And where did we hear about right-wing extremism being the sole target for the new Homeland Security? We heard it at the Ground Zero Lounge before it even became news. Because we had discussed this also. James Media Monarchy and I discussed this as well. We knew, and we told everybody about it, because we knew what the next phase was going to be. Not your little turban-headed terrorists anymore. No. They're looking after people who don't like the new administration. They're looking for people who don't like the war on pirates. They're looking for people that don't believe in global sustainability. Every government in history has taken part in some sort of extortion and abuse. Every government. They have made deals with thugs and criminals, and the United States is not at all immune from doing this. Every administration has endorsed some of the most brutal acts in history, far more hideous than any pirate, real or fictional. It's official. Obama will not prosecute CIA. I read this, and I just shook my head. Is this going to be talked about on the news as we argue whether or not the Tea Party was effective? The Tea Bagging Party, as they called it. That was a nice way of throwing in a little gay joke there. Thank you, Anderson Cooper. You know he's gay, yeah. Anyway, it's no secret. So is Drudge. Anyway, that's how he gets all that information, you know. Pillow talk works every time. Anyway, I'm going to get fucking sued. I'm going to get sued. I don't give a shit. Come after me. I have no money. You can pay my fucking cancer bill. Yeah, get in line. Right. The new administration is sending their message loud and clear on how they feel about government torture, and with troops expanding in the Middle East, it seems that there's no way out of the never-ending war, wars that rape the earth of resources and leave behind toxic and nuclear waste. I guess it's true what they say, that what they said in the movie The Pirates of the Caribbean. They said, well, there's a little bit of pirate in everybody, isn't there? Who's the pirate? Who are the pirates? I got a little presentation I want to play for you now. Something I found online that I really think is cool. And I'm going to play that for you. I hope it plays well, because I always have problems playing shit from the internet. But we're going to try it and see what happens here. Okay, we're going to lights right screen. You got the sound up there? Okay, here we go. See if it works. Take a look at this.
Well, our story begins, you know, with old St. Augustine. Way back in days of old, he reported on this theme. A mighty emperor had taught himself a pirate who was a terrorizing people who were sailing on the open seas.
What meanest thou by keeping hostile possession of the sea? What meanest thou by seizing the whole earth? Because I do it with a petty ship, I'm called a robber. What's thou, who does the same with a great fleet, art styled emperor?
And old St. Augustine thought that was a pretty smart answer. Cause there are pirates and emperors, but they're really the same thing. When they go and try to reach the same end by using the same means. Whether they do it big or they do it small, from a little tiny boat or from a hallowed hall. Bully is as bully does, that's plain to see. Speaking of bullies, what would you say about a gang of vicious, low-down thugs who were trying to overthrow the government by attacking undefended civilian targets like schools, farms, hospitals, and outreach centers?
Why, I'd say they were terrorists.
I'm sorry. The correct answer is freedom fighters. At least that's what you called these thugs, a.k.a. the Contras, when you funded their campaign of terror and indiscriminate killing to overthrow the government of Nicaragua. There was trouble in the land of Nicaragua in the 80s, it's true. And Uncle Sam has always said this kind of thing just really won't do. So he paid for a bag full of dirty tricks, turned killers into heroes with a PR blitz. Well, freedom's sure a funny word for what the Contras did do. You know, there are pirates and emperors, but they're really the same thing. They just wanna let freedom ring. Well, they do it big or they do it small, but only one goes down when they break the law. While the big one claims,
this really don't apply to me.
The funny thing about pirates and emperors is that they often start out as pals who get into a tiff somehow and end up enemies.
You mean like Lex Luthor and Superman?
Yeah, except Lex Luthor was a nice guy before he lost all his hair. Whereas Manuel Noriega, Saddam Hussein, and Osama bin Laden were all known thugs and mass murderers when they were on the CIA payroll. That's why they got the job. Either that, or Uncle Sam is just a really bad judge of character.
I don't understand why this keeps happening to me.
Well, not so long ago we thought Saddam here was a pretty swell guy. And we helped him get the goods to make the Ayatollah Khomeini cry. But Uncle Sam decided it was not Saddam's fate to be the leader of his Middle Eastern client state that was sitting on top of a big, huge oil supply. Big and little thugs got thuggery incoming, even if one's got stars and stripes on him. Bully is a bully does, that's plain to see. If it looks like a duck and acts like a duck and quacks like a duck, it probably is a duck. You know, a rose is a rose no matter how much it stinks.
I resent that comment. I'm not a duck. I'm an anti-duck. I'm a counter-duck. Well, I'm more of a mallard, really.
Why, I'm fighting a war on ducks. Any ducks come around here, I'm gonna blast them.
There you go. I like that. That's really funny. Get out of here. So, yeah, if it acts like a duck, quacks like a duck, probably is a duck, but then again, you know, you never know. You need to understand, you need to ask yourself, somebody brought this up to me the other day, it was some thing they saw, I think it was a Monty Python sketch, where the Nazis were, like, shooting in World War II, and one of the Nazis says to the other Nazi, you know what's really interesting is that I think we're on the wrong side. And the one Nazi says, how do you say that? Why do you say we're on the wrong side? He says, look, we're wearing skull and crossbones, and we're all dressed in these weird outfits, I think we're on the wrong side. Think about it. There aren't Halloween costumes now, but you have to look at the philosophical angle. You have to look at where your conscience is. There's more to every story, and to use this rhetoric, the war on pirates, as a way to make their candidate look like he's tough on terrorism is a bullshit way of getting away with all kinds of piracy. And the piracy continues, and what do pirates do? They're good at being scalawags, and they're good at betraying you and robbing from you. And continuing to rob from you because they do it with such passion and grace. No, they're not romanticized at all, Matt Lauer. They're fucking thugs with nuclear weapons. And they wouldn't think twice about using them on you if you decide to rebel. So, Texas, pay attention. You want to be rebellious and you want to rebel, go away, secede. Everybody else is thinking about doing it. Just see how far that goes in the Civil War here in the United States. Somalia had theirs. Argentina had theirs. They lost their economy, and they lost their pride, and they even lost their sovereignty. If we don't change, that's what we're going to be seeing. And I've given it, like I said, back in March, 120 days. You're already seeing people shooting up factories, and you're seeing people shooting their families and saying they can't live because they're losing everything. It's only the tip of the iceberg. And like I said, the solution is this. Clean up the mess that we left in the past and stop doing this war shit and stop milking us for wars that are needless to keep us on the brink of starvation. That is what we need to do to change. That's the solution. Not getting all pissy, going about it through philosophical evaluation, looking at ourselves to see where we are spiritually as well, where we stand mentally. I want to remind you, these shows are available now. I'm selling them for $10 a piece. If you would like one, put in your request. Give me $10. I'll give you one next week. Just come to me. I'll have one ready. It takes me a little while to put them all together, but I want to make sure that I have enough CDs to deal with it. So come up to me if you want to buy one. They're $10. Also, my other shows are recorded. I can also record those and sell them for $10 too. A couple of people like to thank James from Media Monarchy for being here tonight. Give him a hand, please. MediaMonarchy.com. Great place to go to get some information. I'd like to thank the lovely Janine Duffy for helping me tonight with some of the images. She did a great job on a lot of them. Give her a hand, too. Karaoke from Hell's up next. We'll see you next week from the Ground Zero Lounge. I'm Clyde Lewis. Good night.